Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets from all around the world who come together every Friday night to speak, to share work, and to check in with one another and to support one another. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the November 10th, 2017 edition. I am your host, not that humble, Michael Amadei, and I have my not-so-humble co-host, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing well?
Yeah.
We haven't really talked this week.
No,
because
we haven't.
I've been
had a meeting on Wednesday.
I do, yeah, for the school where I teach.
Yeah.
Of course, there's different things. Like there's a marketing committee,
yeah,
which I actually feel like I'm useful on.
And, which is good.
It's once a month. So, yeah, we didn't have our normal Wednesday meeting. So these nights are kind of wonky.
When yeah.
All bets are off when we haven't gotten together on Wednesday.
It's kind of true. It's kind of weird. It's been a good week. I've got a couple of options on my plate right now for career and
nice
options like that.
Okay.
But so I'm kind of mulling those over. And then, got to see a fun movie. We found an inexpensive way to watch new movies.
Okay, so you're going to have to say this because it sounds like an advertisement, but I know you're not actually advertising anything, so
no.
So you better tell people, because this is kind of important.
So I saw Thor Ragnarok.
Okay.
And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was definitely a winner in my book. Funny, serious, and they still stuck with that James Gunn theme where, he plays the 70s music.
Yeah.
Because it's disco,
right,
kind of thing.
Right.
They did it in there, too.
Awesome. That's cool.
So it was worth it. You're like, yep, totally fits.
Well, so. Now, we haven't done an episode of Radio
Anime
in a very, very long time. There was we did, and I think I've mentioned this several times before, but we did a show called Radio Angry, where we would talk about different movies, and it was kind of a fun thing. We did, I don't know how many episodes we did.
About 15-ish.
15. So it was kind of small as far as episode count.
Yeah.
But I think, let's see where we can find it, where I can find it and kind of push it forward. I'll see if there's a link sometime I can share it for people, if you're interested in hearing what the old episodes were.
Yeah.
But it's basically us going on for kind of ad nauseum.
Sometimes, yeah.
But we really were very thorough.
Yeah, we did.
Thorough film podcast.
Yeah, and it's completely full of spoilers because, well,
we're in the spoiler zone.
That's right.
Yeah.
But no, we have a 2-for-1 option that we're able to exercise on Tuesdays.
JT and Christine love a good twofer. That's the truth.
That's right.
Yeah. Every time we go to Applebee's, yeah, JT's all about the twofer.
Two for ones.
Yeah.
And then this coming Tuesday, we're going to see Murder on the Orient.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to go check that out tomorrow, I think. Tomorrow evening, yeah.
Sweet.
I'm a Kenneth Branagh nerd.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah, and I have been ever since, you know, I think he was...
Ever since Thor, I know. I'm just kidding.
Cinderella, man. Get with it.
Oh, okay.
No,
sorry.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit. No, I really got it. He was the first person I saw that really was able to breathe life into Shakespeare.
Yes.
In the world where I was inhabiting. And so once I saw that, Shakespeare started to make sense to me. And then, of course, I would search out the other actors he had working with them, like Derek Jacobi, Brian Blessed, like people who are real heavyweight Shakespearean actors. And so that really kind of connected me with that work also. So I'm looking forward to seeing it, and we'll see. You know, this week for me, I've kind of been like a walking zombie. I felt like I was sick, but I never quite crossed over into being sick because I was taking care of myself just enough. But, man, I've just felt so unfocused and so just unsteady. But, you know, it'll come. I'll come out of it. No big deal, right? But at any rate, we're here for the show tonight. But because of that, the sickness thing, I made the executive decision to not do a Studio X this evening because today, singing at Mass, as I was describing it, my voice was like a dog that you're trying to make sit still but sees a squirrel and runs off another direction. I just couldn't make it work. So what we're going to do is no Studio X tonight. We'll do a Studio X next week. Now, by the way, did you realize we have, what is it, this week, next week, the week after, and then, so it's 3 weeks from here?
Yeah.
3 weeks from here is our 5-year anniversary. It'll be super, super cool. We're looking forward to it. We got some big, big, like serious announcements people really need to listen to that are going to come out on that day also. So that'll be on the 1st. It's going to be a party, man. We're actually really planning on some special stuff. So you definitely want to make plans and be in there. Let's start getting into the poetry here. So first two rules, or actually the real only two rules. Number one, no hate speech. We just don't do that here. It's not what we're about. Second of all, excuse me, we try to skew PG-13. We're not in the business of censoring art. However, we definitely, you know, want to allow a friendly environment for families who are listening and kind of exposing their children to poetry for the first time. We want them to kind of be able to have a friendly space. That being said, if it's something where it's artistically used, it's not a problem. If it's something where it's a little gratuitous, a little bit over the top, we'll suggest you save it for an After Dark segment, which we have once a month, which is why we have it. So
that's
you
right.
Can still do that. What we need now is 5 unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. And JT, if I just clench when I'm lifting.
Yes.
I get like an extra 20 pounds on my deadlift.
Isn't that amazing?
It's all about the gluteal clench.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I have been there myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's that just clench. Oh, yeah.
When things are hard, things are difficult, the best thing you can do is clench your buttocks.
Yep.
That's kind of my rule. Clench the buttocks. Thanks for thinking about making a clothing line, seeing if Philip would be interested in being my one of my models. Clench the buttocks. It's just a T-shirt that says that.
Clench the buttocks.
Maybe even sweatpants that say it on the actual buttocks. Clench the buttocks. You know?
It's kind of would you do it down the side of the leg? Do it down the side of the leg. That way it's...
Clench the hammy. That's a...
Or just have it just on, occurred on to the me, rear side. You
it
just
have occurred to me,
flex
moons,
it.
Moons over my hammy was totally a hamstring and butt joke.
Wow.
It never occurred to me that was a thing. I wonder if Denny's is capable of thinking on that level. They probably are, actually.
You know, they probably are.
Probably are. Okay, let's go to...
Oh,
I sound much worse than I am, guys. I promise you, I'm not that
bad. He does. He doesn't look that bad.
As soon as he shaves his porn stash, he'll be fine. All right. So we're going to go to a poet from Michigan, someone who leads off the show every week, and we really, really appreciate everything he does for us. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Dennis, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. It's Friday night. Where else would I be?
That's what I figure, right? We're happy to have you again. How's everything going?
Everything's going good, and I have no complaints. It's all good.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I see we have a great turnout tonight, and why don't I just give you the floor, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right. That sounds good. All right. The poem I have, you could call a period piece. The title is The Roaring Twenties. The temperance movement reigns supreme against liquor, drink, devil schemes. The 18th Amendment, so it seems, lawmakers' theme. Prohibition is ushered in. Grassroots rebellion now begins. Average people, crime kingpins, make bathtub gin. G-men are out, laws to enforce. Seek bootleggers' illicit source. Speakeasies open in due course. Booze to endorse. Roaring 20s, dangerous time. The temperance movement lost its rhyme. The 18th Amendment lost its prime to combat crime. End of poem.
That's an interesting one. I didn't expect that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool.
I was given a theme for a contest to write, and I wrote that. I didn't catch the judge's fancy, but it still was a good exercise. So I appreciate the opportunity to write it.
Well, absolutely. We appreciate you sharing it with us. And, you know, I think we all really enjoyed it, so... I think that's
that was
matters.
In the monotetra form, if you wanted to know.
Okay.
If anyone's interested.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Dennis, we really appreciate everything, man. We appreciate everything you do for us.
Yeah, well, that's mutual. We appreciate everything you do for us. And it's a wonderful experience to be part of your program. And I know that you put a lot of effort into it and preparation, and that goes unseen. But all the same, we know it's there and it is appreciated. And thank you so very much for being here for us.
Of course, of course. It makes it, it's all worth it. Once we get here on Friday nights, it's all worth it. So,
makes my Friday nights wonderful.
Good. That's what we want to hear. That makes it worth it then. All right.
Yes. And I'm sure I share that sentiment with a lot of other poets. Now, I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, thank you, Dennis. God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, the Mitten State. See? I'm trying to up my game.
Okay.
Trying to be good. Now we're going to head to the land of hopes and dreams. Not New Jersey, but Cleveland, Ohio. To Mama Oladeji. Are you there, Mama?
I am here waiting with bated breath.
All right. Bated with what is the question?
Garlic.
Oh, I was going to say garlic, or is that some of that moonshine Dennis was just talking about?
No, garlic. I'm still fighting demons. Okay. Name of this piece, Mr. Amadeus. I love your last name. That's just so sexy.
Well, thank you.
Read the chat room.
Uh-oh.
The statement I made about how easy I fall in love. See, I'm already in love with that name. I mean, that name is just...
Mama, it's the only thing I got going for me. It's all downhill from there. Like, that's...
It could be a movie star, it could be a poet, it could be a painter. I mean, it could just take me anywhere. Okay,
well,
now that I'm over that, let me see. The name of this piece is called Make Planet Earth Great Again.
All right.
And it's a takeoff of Make America Great Again. As family, back when God was the head, we huddled together, fearing a storm, powerless, powerless in the cellar, crouching in the dark. We children were scared. Seeing our mom so helpless, knowing that if she were afraid and helpless, then so were we. Standing strong in her faith, she'd say, "It's all in God's hands. Be quiet and pray and wait it out." Many times in a lifetime, we have been quiet in the storm. We have prayed and waited it out. But that is when we had a merciful God at the control. These murderous scientists are manipulating these disasters, slow to help wherever those whom which they intend to dispose of or go after called out in distress. Now, when I get wind of an oncoming storm, my radar goes straight to the alarm. Well, if they tested HARP, HARP, and aimed it to go where it has never gone before, to visit a hurricane on Ireland, was a phenomenal feat. And of course, that means they can send chaos or the devil wherever they choose to chart their course. So many dying, leaving many social securities and SSI and veterans checks and pension checks and insurance checks and medical checks. Oh, well, all those checks go back into the national pot to disappear in some agency's corporate pocket. So if you are sitting and wondering, what in the hell is going on? Well, all hell is what's going on. And we are facing genocide as the planet and as inhabitants of Earth. Also, as human beings, we must discuss this at once. Pray. Become warriors of prayer. Prayers unite. We must meet to defeat our enemies. No longer can we sit huddled, waiting silently. We must now pray out loud and take our planet back or perish in peace.
It's a very, very powerful piece. It reminded me of course, you know, the obvious you know, statement of it. But then for some reason, I also had images of Battlefield Earth with John Travolta
very,
at the
very
same time.
Piece. It reminded me of course.
I think we lost her.
Oh, we did.
Oh, okay. I think she was trying to turn it down and something happened.
It's okay.
Mama, that was a wonderful piece. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to you when we do the return engagement, of course. Wow. She always delivers. Always delivers.
And she does.
It's fantastic stuff.
I am.
Excuse me.
Oh, it's okay.
Ugh. Man. Okay.
I guess I'll have to fix that in post.
Fixing it in post?
Yep.
All right.
Really?
JT's having a hard time with software today. It's become an issue. Okay, here we go.
Let's see. Home.
All right.
This
so
one,
now.
Hit this button.
We are going to be heading across the pond to the UK to visit Mr. Titus. Titus, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. You sound loud and clear. How are you today?
Yeah, brilliant. I actually turned the sound down on that on the chat, but I could still hear you. I was wondering why.
That would be why. Yes. So
I'm on the air.
Oh yes, of course. Well, it's funny how all these different things work together and they end up being so complicated. It's kind of funny. We've run into that on our own here. So at any rate, how about this? As always, I'm just going to give you the stage and we'll talk afterwards. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. This poem is called Pro Procol Many Moons Ago. Propaquol means the distance. And this is an apology to Diane and all the group. And if ever I'm unable to come here anytime, this is an apology to you all. Propaquol many moons ago. And Titus Llewellyn is Halibop, the comet who, in once in a blue moon, the Earth is adorned in lovely sights. Dearly beloved, it is my endearing wish to speak of one's labour, and she, more willing than anyone, has carried not only the burden, her love as a neighbour, notepad at the ready, yet indeed I have harried, equivocal restraint on why my moods are varied. For instance, time, the most precious commodity, often is constant, reminds me of a bright moon relating to the stages, when there is this colloquy between beyond the reach of our own domain. Very soon Earth be calling, and like tiny clusters, our group, so like the many moons of Jupiter, we do attune. Comets, our laughter at the rate in which impact organizers hate to hurry. But there isn't any time. Magnetic force fields approach in ways to enact, politely repels the imperative. Her call will chime, tentative denote in singular. What mass is in fact oblivious to the outcome, for which I do worry. But it's never too late, I suppose, for absence to say sorry. And I am. Thank you.
That's a poignant, heartfelt piece.
I don't like letting people down. I am a constant.
Yeah.
But I seem to be constant in my own selfishness to study, to write my books, to work very hard, many, many hours. And a couple of people have brought it to my attention, one in particular, who really upset me. And I really needed to know that, or tell people that, yes, what I have to do, I have to do. And when I can come on, I will do that, of course. And I don't like letting people down. That's for sure.
Well, we definitely understand, and we understand, you know, life comes first. I've always been a believer that, you know, art is a support system for life, not the other way around.
And I know that not many British people come onto this program, but if you do not see the word Titus on that chat, it's because I'm either very too tired or I'm busy. Thank you.
Very understood. Thank you, sir.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling from the UK. Very understandable. I know that's an issue. He gets up or stays up, either way, so early in the morning. We really are thankful for him for doing that. All right. Now we're heading to someone, and I am so proud of myself in the future for not making a limerick out of this.
This is good.
We're going to go to a new caller, Lucretia, calling from Nantucket. This is why I'm proud of myself. Lucretia, are you there?
I am here.
Wonderful. You're on the air. My name's Michael. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you all for doing this. This is such a wonderful thing.
Well, we definitely enjoy doing it. We've been doing it for a while now, and we're happy to have you on. So let me ask you, how did you end up hearing about us?
There is a poet who has a Facebook page. Her name is Trish Hopkinson.
Okay, yeah, we know her.
And I saw it on her Facebook page. I follow her on Facebook, and she posted about this, and I was like, wow, that sounds, because living on an island, we, you know, there are wonderful things in New York and in Provincetown and all these places, but that means you have to take a boat ride off stay overnight and stuff. So we don't get to do a lot of things. So I then started going on and listening to your past shows and just fell in love with it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'm so happy to hear that. I'm glad that we didn't scare you away when you started listening.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Wonderful. I'm really happy to have you, and welcome.
Thank you.
So let's do this. I'm going to give you the stage, and we'll talk after your poetry, okay?
Okay.
All right. The floor is yours.
Okay. The poem I'm... I'm live in Nantucket now, but I was born and bred in eastern Kentucky. So the poem I am reading is called Coal Country. The pain in these hills is palpable. It leaches into the poplar trees and tobacco plants, from the graves of my ancestors, Choctaws and Welsh, farmers and musicians, wraps around my ankles like a kudzu vine, wafts on dulcimer notes through the maples, oaks, and beech trees, festers deep inside, dark as the coal we plunder from the ground. End poem.
Very nice. Very, very nice. I love the imagery there, and I love the kind of the tapestry that you were weaving with the words there. So what, obviously that does seem like it's very personal to you. Do you want to kind of explain where the inspiration came from?
Well, I grew up in eastern Kentucky, and my family's still from there. And I actually wrote this after this past election. And mm-hmm. because so much... When the election returns came in, living in Massachusetts, as we know, is probably about as blue as you can get. And sure. So I was watching the returns, and the minute the polls closed in Kentucky, they immediately called it for our now president.
Yes.
And I posted on Facebook, because I have tons of friends still, my family's still in Kentucky, and I posted, "Kentucky, you've broken my heart once again," and got so much back. Oh, everybody got really mad at me that was from Kentucky, and I realized the pain that caused so many people to vote for him.
Yep.
And so it really started me thinking about that and about how, and I, because I knew that the people that were thinking that this was going to be their white knight, it, you know, and it come to save them, it wasn't going to be that way. And it just reminded me of so many times that had happened to the people from Appalachia. Mm,
yeah.
And so then that came out.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I am, you know, we, in, you know, I, as hosts, we don't really get into the politics here. Of course, we don't have a problem with that in
right.
poetry, obviously. But, you know, I keep getting this impression. I kind of feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of people have been duped and they're not really aware of it yet. But, yeah, I kind of had feelings like that. You know, my grandfather was born to immigrants in a coal camp and was put as a baby under the floorboards of a cabin when the National Guard was calling to quell a strike and they were opening fire on the miners. And,
yep.
you know, thinking about that, thinking about how far we've come, but also realizing there's whole societies, whole cultures, whole groups that are dependent on this older stuff that is just being kind of tossed aside. Of course, the amount of pain and the economic pain and all of that is really going to motivate something. And the thing I ended up coming away from that election with was a feeling of, wow, everybody who was so smug about how, you know, it wasn't even going to be a possibility, boy, were we wrong. And boy, did we
yeah.
underestimate the pain that a lot of people that we live with are going through.
Right. And I think that, you know, trying to look for a silver lining in everything.
Of course.
I think it has made, first of all, it's made very many people come together who previously had been sitting back and just saying, oh, everything must be fine. But it also, I think, opened our eyes to people living right next to us who we didn't even realize were in pain. And people that had, for like you said, had sort of felt like they had been forgotten. And,
yeah.
you know, the world had kept going and nobody realized that, you know, it was like they were all the kids who got left at the mall, you know?
Well, you
yeah.
know what? It's true. And to be honest, with the advent of artificial intelligence and all that, it's even going to be more people. It's going to be more and more and more. So we have to start finding ways to help people not be left behind like this. Otherwise,
yeah.
we're going to have a lot of this repercussions and, I think one of the things that I like about the show, as funny as it is about sitting here and reading poetry and having discussions, that it's something proactive. I feel like us being able to share poetry, share ideas, is part of a solution rather than being more of the problem. And I'm very happy to have you call in. It really means a lot. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you all. I love it. So
great.
I will be here regularly.
Well, perfect. We love that idea. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
I will go, and I will maybe call in for the next one.
Sounds great. Thank you, Lucretia.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
And that was Lucretia calling from Nantucket, the island of Nantucket, which is pretty cool. So it's kind of like we went over to the UK and we hit an island on the way back in.
Yep.
All right. So now we're going to go to another caller on the Eastern Seaboard.
Oh, look
like
at
that?
You.
Like that? Yeah, it's getting a little bit better. Not every place is a land of enchantment. Let's go to Diane in Florida. Hey, Diane, are you there? Ah, Diane, we're having that issue again. Diane, we can't hear you. If you can hear me, hang up, call us right back. I'm so sorry. We're having an issue with the update of Skype, which should fix this problem. We're having all kinds of other issues, technical issues with it. So we're actually running multiple ones. We've been working on it for weeks now.
Yeah.
It's a real pain.
It is.
It's a real pain. So if anybody has any great solutions, any other ideas you know about that can hold multiple lines of people and do things kind of like Skype, send us a message. WorldPoetryOpenMic@gmail.com. We're open to anything. But let's get Diane from Florida on the line now. Hey, Diane, there you are. I can already tell you're there.
Yeah, you know, it's really strange because I can hear you perfectly, and you're always sitting there, and I'm going, hello?
It's
I don't know what it is.
It's us.
But you were saying it was the latest?
Well,
I've got a new laptop with Windows 10 and everything.
Well, Windows 10 is
so
the problem.
So nothing is working.
No, you know, I have a bunch of Windows 10 machines myself, and I there's things that are fine, and there's other things that just, like the sound preferences that drive me nuts. So
I hope that my sound is good because I got stereo on this.
Oh, you're fine.
No, you sound
and
great.
I'm wearing a headset, unlike the phone. You said that there is feedback with the phone. Lucretia, I just have to tell you how spot on and wonderful that all was.
Here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
So how's everything going with you, Diane?
I was actually deactivated for a couple of days because I've been dealing with some stuff outside of poetry and Facebook and everything.
Yeah.
But kind of a landmark for my little group, this is our one-year anniversary this year. We opened a year ago on November 8th, and I think this year it was November 7th. So, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
So I am just really pleased. Yeah. Such wonderful people. And we had a lot of fun at Halloween. We actually redecorated the quote page as the garden of nightmare and dreams.
Nice.
Maybe it should have been nightmare and screams.
Very, very nice.
And we even created little masquerade things. And we had like a guessing game, like guess who's who. So we had a lot of fun.
Well, how cool is that? That's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't know. To me, it feels a lot more like home. When I first got on Facebook after being on poetry forums and such, it was just so massive.
Yeah. There's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So I love everybody in my little group, and we all feed each other. So.
Well, we really appreciate everything you do for poetry itself, and then also, you know, I see these little things you're doing for the show, and we do really care about it. It does matter a lot, Diane. Thank you.
Oh, I hope you don't. I was making a lot of jokes about the Poet of the Month just because I ran out of material.
Well, I think
I was in marketing at one time. So
Oh, perfect. Well, I have more clues about the Poet of the Month. I'm going to say after you get off the phone, and I think the last one. If you actually think about it, I think you'll be able to get it. I think you will get it if you listen to the last clue.
Okay. So, cool.
At any rate,
what I was going to read, if that's okay, is the poem that I used to open up the garden last year.
Perfect.
So it's kind of a repeat for some people. It is called The Key to the Garden. In the garden of the memory of a place we've lived before is heard the beating of the hearts that are echoes in my soul. In the journeys of our lifetimes amidst the death of many truths, there's a whisper from the shadows that are lurking at the roots of what we term creation in the times we think is past, that are really from the future, from the bones that have been cast. In the nighttime of our yearning, from the devil child's song, we are calling to creation for a healing touch at last. As we lift the mighty hammer cast by Lucifer in shame, we will surely stain our aprons with the devil's mighty pain. But when the parts of what are whole finally cleave to do what's right, then the air again will tremble with creation's true delight. and the gates will finally open from the darkness and despair that have troubled all the gardens that are hiding in the air. Of the way it is, the way it was, the way that it should be. Always hiding in the shadows to the kingdom is a key. The end.
Beautiful. Beautifully done.
Thank you.
And Diane, you know, the garden is a special place, and I think you have a lot of great poets and a lot of great minds there, and I enjoy seeing the messages as they come through as well and the work.
Good.
It's cool.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah. We're working on our first anthology.
Well,
and I better work hard because we were on the fourth one.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're worth doing.
Yeah.
They really are. I promise. All right.
Yeah.
Diane.
All right. God bless you guys.
Bless
Catch
you too.
Again.
Talk
right.
to you
okay.
again.
Sounds
Thank
good.
You. And that was Diane Kahn all the way from Florida. She does so much for the show and for poetry in general. I think you can tell she's very, very passionate about it. And also, as she just demonstrated, no slouch of a poet herself.
Yeah.
Which I always think is very cool. All right. So last week I gave three hints as to the mystery poet of the month for November 2017. Okay. So last week, I'm going
to
give the things again real quick. Last week, number one, he was catapulted into life as an artist. His mother collapsed at the gravesite at his grandfather's funeral, dying several days later. Two, he was a founding member of the art group Lipton Village. Three, while this poet was visiting the artist in the Swiss chalet during a blizzard, the artist known as Balthus asked him to be his wife's godfather. Okay, now for the next three. Was born with the name Paul, but was later given his current name as a young man. Number two, he began his career and met his wife in the same week. And number three, this might be the giveaway. He used his art to become one of the largest advocates to AIDS victims, those under extreme poverty, and his work to help third world countries to become economically competitive through commerce and through politics. All right, if you think you know what it is, send us a message, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. We'll send you a used pair of JT's underwear or something.
Let's not do that.
But don't just say it in the chat room. Make sure you send it to us here privately so we don't spoil it. Next week, we'll do the official reveal of who it is. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get ready for the next segment. Now, we need five more unique callers. That means if you've called in already, you can't call in during this next segment. So this is only for people who have not called in yet tonight, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Give us a call.
Do you feel run down? Is it difficult for you to talk to loved ones? Do you stare at a blank page and don't know what to say? Then you may have hypopoetremia or low poetry blood levels, but there is a cure. World Poetry Open Mic, taken once a week every Friday night, will increase your poetry levels. This increase will cause elation, ability to converse with others, attract those whom you desire, and how to write that apology letter. November is Hypopoetremia Awareness Month. Tell your loved ones about the cure. Ask your doctor if you're healthy enough for poetry.
Listening to World Poetry Open Mic, side effects may include smiles, heart palpitations, normal sinus rhythm, homeostasis, decreased depression, positive outlook, reduced stress, reduced anger. Rare side effects reported are better relationships with others.
I really like that drop. It sounds now with the
oh yeah, with
the background noise. It sounds like you recorded that in a damn helicopter, man.
Well, you know, at already 5,000 feet, you got to go up just a little bit more for that.
JT has a totally different version of the Mile High Club.
Yep,
it's where we record drops.
That's right.
He's like, you want to go up in my plane and
I got a Cessna in the backyard.
Record drops, and people are like, ooh. JT, you're an animal. And then he gets up there and he pulls out a microphone. He's like, all right.
Let's record.
Let's do this. That's why everybody looks so disappointed when they come back down. All right. So we have four great poets lined up for the evening. Let's just go straight into it. Let's go to a poet who's been a longtime friend of the show. We're always happy to have her. Barbara from Connecticut.
Hi.
Hi. How are you this evening?
Well, I was late, but that's only because I... Okay, I had my computer on. I was getting an echo.
Fair enough.
It's only because I was watching my crazy ex-girlfriend, which you know I love.
Yep, and that season just started up too, didn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. She is so good. She is like, oh, so good. So anyway, this is like getting to be kind of a difficult, like it was a very busy, busy week for me. And yet I had to write yet another poem for the garden, which I love to do, but you know, it still adds on to the week. And then I am also writing articles for somebody, which it's gotten me into this position where, you know, she is in another country. And so people in another country, they don't understand. Sometimes they get confused in time. You know, they think your time, if you speak to them late at night, they think, oh, it's a good time for you to work. So I was in that stage this week. So I was writing a lot at night. So it's you know.
Understood. Yeah. Yeah.
It can get to you. You know, that kind of thing can really get to you. And so, what the hell?
What the hell?
So, I'm going to read to you the poem that I wrote for the garden this week. And the prompts were very unusual words given by one of our people in the garden, Jerry Langdon. And it was maybe it wasn't Jerry. I forgot who gave them now. But whoever gave them, they were very unusual words. And so the name of the poem is Caught in a Nightmare Sweatin' and Lost in the Whatsoever of Remembered Encounters While Teaching. Now, a little explanation of what each of these is. A sweatin' is like a dream. And the whatsoever is like, you know, wherever or, you know, that kind of thing. So everybody understands that. That's, again, the title is called Caught in Nightmare Sweatin' and Lost in the Whatsoever of Remembered Encounters While Teaching. In the hazy sweatin' of a twisted nightmare, my mind searched in the dark regions of the innermost reaches of the soul, struggling to find the key to escape the mist swirling around me, blackboard dust from chalk used years ago. Words inscribed on those chalkboards, fingers white with the dust of the chalk, as I attempted to force feed information into the minds of children whose feet had yet to take a step on their life's pathway. Their eyes darting whatsoever they could, except onto me, and yet I persisted, the sheer determination of needing to impart the knowledge, for surely someday their brains would thank me for preparing them for the torture that is life, with mind fragments they could dig out when needed. Lost in the fog of my sweatin', as I turned to see any route of escape, more images filled my tortured head of wasted time spent creating and delivering lesson plan after lesson plan to blank faces, empty of joy in front of me, the smell of defeat hanging in the air. Break free, I kept telling myself, as the cloud of derision clamped itself on me, forcing me to find a way out of there, darkening the swirling mist and creating another horror. And then I saw it, a tiny dot of light, I pushed outward, and the force threw me to the ground as I crawled ever onward toward the brightness, and forsaking my comfort, struggled to find a way out of the darkness, my fingers bloodied and raw as they tore at the obstacles in front of me. Reaching the source of the light, I pushed through, and on the other side found the reason for this incandescence. For what could have broken through the torment of the blackness around me? What was behind this brightness? In front of me, with the light as a beacon, I traveled to the place from whence it, where it came. Unnerved by the sweven that had come to me during a pleasant, deep sleep, I cursed out loud, and then the mystery was solved. The light came from a former student, eyes shining as he read without stumbling the answer to the question he was asked. In the equivalent of Disney for a teacher, I clapped my hands and jumped out of the dream to open my eyes to the world in which I now lived. Ah, I breathed as I realized that never again would I need to stand in the front of a classroom and watch the whithersoever stares of uncaring students. Happy it was only a dream. Hold it. Happy it was only a dream, I wondered if the power of enlightenment would work its magic on all students who suddenly found that seeing the now was much better than whithersoever stairs to nowhere. End poem.
Wow, some of those scenarios sounded very, very familiar.
I knew you would like this one, Michael.
It's funny. I've actually found myself giving speeches to kids like eighth graders. You can't comprehend at this age and time in your life how much all of you suck right now.
Right. Absolutely right. It was.
Yeah. Yeah,
I didn't expect it to go that way, but you know poetry.
and you know poetry, and then also from anybody who's listening, because I know we have several teachers or ex-teachers or whatever who've listened, including like Cynthia and everything. That's just something you know. You have this great thing about how you're going to inspire kids, and you do, but most of the time it's them staring at you like you're just a total jerk who's taking away their playtime.
Yeah, I know. It's like, darn, why can't I look out the window at his Pokemon?
Oh, I know, Pokemon. Not only do I not understand what the hell is going on with Pokemon, but I have zero desire to learn what is going on with Pokemon.
Well, Michael, let me tell you, don't even tell me.
I don't even want to know. Barbara, I was joking around about how I wanted to write a book called I Don't Care. And the entire book would be pictures of me in various stages of just kind of looking at the camera with an exhausted, exasperated look. And it would just say things like, I don't care. And then the next page would say, I really, really don't care. And just make it like 200 pages. And so if someone says something, I could say, just go to the book and look up page 87. And they'd look it up and it would just be like, I don't care.
I know. I have a tutor student. And yeah. He's into all these things like, these Transformers and all these other things.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Yesterday, he wanted to write a story about Greek myths, and because he's studying it with one of his teachers. He's in fourth grade. And I said, great. Well, what? So we go look up all the myths, and then he says, no, we're going to decide on our own character.
Oh, okay.
And it turns out to be a monster. Actually, one of those characters from one of those games, the one with the, I have no idea what game it is or anything, sure. But it's the one with the water guy with the sword. I have no idea what
no
it was.
No idea. Yeah, no idea.
And he wanted to make his own character like that.
Well, cool. Oh, good for him. Good for him.
I know. But that is teaching. You know, you have to go through that. Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone so you other three can get on and we can have the return engagement.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Take care, Michael.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara calling all the way from Connecticut. She's not wrong about the teaching stuff, man. She's not wrong. All right. Let's head to... This next guy is one hell of a poet, but second of all, he is my preferred voice to read the instructions for the end of the world. It's Stan from Alabama. Hey, Stan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How you doing this evening?
Hey, we're doing well. You're coming through loud and clear. Good to hear from you.
All right. I do have a poem I was going to do from the garden, but I'd like them first, and this is kind of a thing I'm going to do for my father and for my grandfather.
All right.
If I may.
Of course. Yeah, of course. The stage is yours, my friend.
Okay. Okay. There aren't any great men. There are just great challenges that ordinary men like you and me are forced to meet. There are no extraordinary men. Just extraordinary circumstances, ordinary men are forced to deal with. Admiral Bull Halsey. It is by the courage of ordinary men and women who stand the watch in harm's way that we continue as a free people. This is an ugly necessity in these violent days. Our thanks to those who have and now serve that watch. And that's just what I wanted to put in there. Well, my dad served in World War II, and my grandfather served World War I.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a remembrance for them.
Yeah, it's deep power in that. My family had people in World War I, World War II, Korean War. Honestly, what a deep, deep sacrifice that the people make to be able to do it. Steve Junka, who's written so many times into the show, was in Vietnam as well. JT's father was military. You know, this is something that we're very thankful for. And you know what? I can't think of a better way to honor them. I heard something the other day, and I'm probably bastardizing it, but it makes sense in this context, which is, poetry is something that heals that which reason and the world has injured. And I think there's no better way to honor someone's sacrifice, whether it's a soldier or a single mother or someone who just really, really put themselves on the line for other people. I think poetry is one of the most fitting ways to do it. And you did a great job of it.
But that was to honor both those men.
And you did. Thank you, Stan.
And if you've got the time, I'll go ahead and do the one I did for the garden.
Let's do it.
Okay, man. This is called Arrival to Departure. Into this transient life, the arrival of a child woman. She, a vessel inherent of the future humanity. Within her such power of gentle grace and soul, whithersoever the place, she bears our tomorrows. What of her own, Sweven, of a world worthy of child? He of seed only, arrogant, though she tends and harvests. Yet male ego dark brings death and loss. Yet why she has no voice, who births the future's voice. We herald in times dark in rage and purpose. Give voice to her, lest our future find oblivion. It is of child woman the wisdom of peace lives. Give heed to life givers, or face a future decomposed. And peace.
another very, very solid piece. Stan, really appreciate it, man. Appreciate
you. Thank you, sir.
Wow. Will you be sharing with us in the return engagement?
Yes, and it'll be something a damn sight lighter.
All right, fair enough, man.
But that...
We loved it, though.
Well, these were things that needed to be, you know.
Yeah.
And now I can let my muse of mischief loose for a bit.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. Thank you, Stan. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye. And that was Stan calling from Alabama. Really laying it down. You know, and JT and I were talking about it, you know. He wanted to do the shorter piece for Veterans Day, which we understand. I mean, Veterans Day is something that I think, especially us on the show, we really, really take seriously. We hold all of our veterans are active and, you know, active duty, reserve, whatever, retired, whatever. We hold them in the highest honor, and we always want to do so on the show. All right, let's go to Philip in Kentucky. Hey, Philip, how are you?
Mostly harmless.
Mostly. It's that other part that I'm worried about.
Right? You and me both, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny about that, Philip, is the fact that you said mostly harmless, and Michael finished off the actual quote from the book. Mostly.
Right, mostly, yeah, Mr. Yes, Douglas Adams.
Yes,
I believe.
Yes. It is.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
The entry. Yeah, the entry on Earth says this.
Yeah.
Mostly harmless. Mostly. And
mostly,
that's it.
Mostly, right? Yeah, that's it. Right. There you go. You gotta love that, right? Yeah. Well.
Sorry.
Cheers to that. Yo, no, please. I'm so glad that you caught it.
Oh, yeah.
Any excuse to, you know, throw down a quote. And speaking of quotes and hints and so forth, I have no idea who the poet of the month is. You know, I'm familiar with Balthus, the artist, but not the poet. So I am intrigued by your hints, Mr. Amadei.
It's going to be interesting.
You have me on the edge of my seat, as they say.
Well, it'll be interesting. Once I say it, I think a whole lot of people are going to go, what? Of course. Yeah,
of course.
I'm surprised no one's gotten it yet, actually. So,
right, yeah. Well, that's good. Anything to stir up interest about poetry and poets. And
absolutely.
On that note, I will get to it get out of the way, because I know you have other poets ready to read. The title, A Divided Self Debates About the Au Contraire Future. And here it goes. An early autumnal dusk burns rust and carmine, no more extant than one's limited mind. Always a struggle between you and I, born unto one mother, raised by another, each pronoun fractured into doubts, singular or colossal. Revising yourself with an anathema for every possible reflection, looking glasses and calm water, perfectly flat, even keel, any hint of an image disposed by unrecalled oblivion. What doesn't wane into indeterminate distances between now and the event horizon? How many light years before everything is past tense? Bookending shelves of space-time with the anthropic principle. Entropy whittling down entire cosmoses until they're nothing but toothpicks. Jagged mountain peaks sawing beneath the orbited firmament leaves behind piles of azure dust. And there it is.
That was fantastic, man. I really enjoyed that. I could see JT.
You're making
over
me blush, sir. Can you hear the red coming off of my face?
Oddly enough, I can. As someone who's as white as I am, I can hear blushing happen across the across the audio wave. Yeah,
that is why I return your compliments. Just, you
No, it really was incredibly enjoyable, and we really appreciate it. But I could see JT reacting to it over there, and I think they loved it in the chat room as well.
Well, I'm a lucky man to have so many decent friends, good fellows, talented poets, and thank you so much for the platform, et cetera, et cetera. Group hug, and I look forward to the return engagement.
Wonderful, Philip. We look forward to having you there as well.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. And that is and was Philip Kahn from Kentucky. I mean, he's still there. It's not like he's not there,
right.
But he's not on the line anymore, so, you know, it's right. Different. All right, let's try it. Let's see if the phone thing works. Let's go to Mary in Arizona.
So, man.
Mary, are you there?
I think so. I'll have to ask myself.
We can hear you. Perfect.
I am. I'm present.
Present and accounted for.
Oh, if I got any more delighted. But now you make me follow Philip with a poem I wrote. Come on.
Oh, no.
You want to make me cry tonight?
Hey, you know, you make us cry. That's the best thing.
Oh, a little tear of joy in between all of the rest is okay. I agree. All right. I'm gonna read a poem I wrote this
all
week
right.
With all that's going on, and I'll be moving by the new year, but not out of Arizona. You're welcome to look me up in Cactus Land for many years to come, I hope, just from these premises, probably with two of my daughters. So these are all good things going on.
Wonderful.
That's how we're looking at it.
All right,
here's the poem. The Beauty of Minor Chords by Mary Labbabeaty. I do not wish to write about bitterness or the taste on the tongue's last lips when love's eyelashes turn to lashes, dried, tethered, tasseled. I do not wish to write about acerbic taste of throw-up, food, or dreams, or life thrown up in our faces once again. I don't wish to write about regret and givings, sliced, missed, or otherwise. Only introspective acceptance and truth, viewing the long grassy knoll behind and yet just up ahead, just beyond these mud cake briars, possibly perfectly pictured prisms, chords so minor they have the right to be uninvented. They are so pretty. I mainly wish to write about love now and resilience, still a little bit pliable, and acceptance of soarings and quirks and unknown legacy, warped from new but no less beautiful to me. The complexity only adds to the hues, after all. Once we have had to endure through all of that endurance, it somehow becomes enough to sustain for long periods, even in lutes. Perseverance on stronger days to forge ahead and perhaps, just perhaps, leave behind a trace of a passion to see or hear or feel. Else, suffice to live a moment in the here and now, once and again, each day's length exactly. So much better that than only to dream about the ones, those moments that never came. I guess I wish to write about that. End poem.
What a lovely, heartfelt piece, Mary.
I thank you, and truly, for the forum and for all of you guys.
Of course.
Onward to the after. No, not after dark.
The return.
The next time. Or
yeah, the return engagement.
Give me a little after dark in between all that stuff. You know?
Just go in the chat room. I've seen Philip turn it after dark real quick.
Leaves and all the turnings of them. Oh.
All these fig leaves, and they're all coming undone. All right.
Oh, prunes, oh, Danish.
All right. Mary, thanks so much.
On to the next. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm
thank
shy
you.
Now.
We'll talk to you soon. And that was Mary Kahn from Arizona. I know sometimes we'll be like really just, you know, very pure and nice, and I look in there and it's like watching Caligula or something. All right, let's get ready to go to the return engagement. That means if you have called in, you can call in again. If you want to call in for the first time, you can call in. All holds are barred except for the two rules we said at the beginning of the show anyway.
There you go.
All right, here we go. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
Like a pterodactyl coming back from the future and confusing the hell out of everybody, it's the return engagement.
Wow, that really did it, too. Good job.
Yeah,
I'm
man.
Totally
think about that.
Confused.
If you suddenly found a visitor from the future and it was a pterodactyl of something you thought had died,
yeah,
you know, eons ago, what would you do? What would you think?
I would want to know how they did it.
You wouldn't know. They're a pterodactyl. They're not. Oh. They're not going to explain.
So they're
this
not going
to.
Oh, okay.
Pterodactyls are notoriously difficult to have conversations yeah. with. They just fly off, or they try to eat your face.
Good point.
And that way, they're a lot like some girls I've dated. Okay, so.
Okay. Interesting.
I haven't made a joke like that in a while. All right. So let's just kick this right off. We've got some great poets lined up. We got nine yeah. lined up, and they're people who've all called in already tonight. And I think the person we're going to lead off with is a perfect person to lead off with. Let's go to Lucretia in Nantucket. Lucretia, are you there?
I am.
Wonderful. Well, you're back on the air. I'm glad you were able to get with us for the return engagement. So
okay.
it's been a good show tonight, hasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it always is though. I love the different styles and getting to know each poet's voice and hearing that.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing you guys put together. It really is.
Well, we're really happy with it. I have to say it's been, you know, seeing it develop over the last 5 years has really been an interesting thing, especially I think JT and I are really in a position that other people aren't, because we know how these different, the way the segments are set up, how that came to be and why yeah. and all this. But it's so cool to be able to hear someone on the phone and know who they are and know about them. And then just this last year, we got to meet several poets from the show when they flew to Denver for a festival that we have. And that was just so special because it made it so much more real. And
that's cool.
Yeah. So at any rate, I'll stop, you know, talking about our show anyway, but I'll let you have the stage, okay?
Okay. The poem I'm going to read is called Depression. When the sky says goodbye to color, icy rain and snow washing away clear blues, summer days, hot orange sunsets, I close the drapes, measure perfect cups of flour, and bake bread. Kneading the dough, letting it rise, not once, not twice, but three times, then punching it down. I keep the oven warm, bake loaf after loaf, whole wheat and rye, cinnamon and struan. When I finally hear the knock at my door, this time I'm ready. I invite him in, pour him a bourbon neat, take down my mother's china, and break bread together. End poem.
Wow, that was fascinating. I liked that one. So,
thank you.
What was the inspiration behind that one?
Well, as I'm sitting here in Nantucket, right, well, it gets dark now at about 4:15 in the afternoon because okay. we are the farthest east you can be.
Right.
And so it gets really dark really early. And right now we have, I think, 60-mile-per-hour gusts of wind, which is a typical occurrence in the winter.
Oh, my gosh.
And we don't have tall trees here because it is an island. We're only 49 square miles. And so you get little scrub oak trees. And in the winter, there's everything's gray. the because we have cedar shingled houses, and so they're gray, and the sky's gray, and the road is gray, and everything's gray. And so depression is a big thing here.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's sort of like a winter hobby we all have.
Very convenient end of the year depression, I guess. Yeah.
It is. And so I bake a lot of bread. I sort of take out my, you know, there's a lot to be said for just the tactileness of kneading dough and stuff. And that's sort of what I do.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Okay. Well, and actually, I love that background. I think the background you've given to both of your pieces was really, really powerful, and it really helped us understand your writing more. So thank you so much for sharing with us again.
Okay, and I will go, and so I can listen to all the rest of the great poets. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. And that was Lucretia calling all the way from Nantucket, Massachusetts. You know, I was looking that up while she was talking about it. I pulled up images of it. It looks beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. And 49 square miles. That's no joke of an island, man. That's a real island.
Never mind.
Massachusetts.
I know where you're going. I can't do it. I want to so bad.
Guys, just look up Ilvis. It's like Elvis with a Y. Massachusetts.
Yes.
You'll know what we're talking about. Okay, let's go to Titus in the UK. Titus, are you there? Oh.
Yes, I'm here.
You are there. Okay, perfect.
Yes. Well, we're going from depression to completely balmy here now.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever, have you ever had limericks on your show?
We've had a few.
Yeah.
Not many.
Oh, that's not the first then. Well, this... a friend of mine, his name's Teddy Bard on our website, and he's English. So there's four limericks. The last one is about the Alliance and Leicester Bank. I think, in a way, it's telling them, because it's no more now that the Alliance and Leicester has finished, but I think it's given a clue as to why they're getting drunk, these two Irishmen.
Okay,
so it's a bit joyous. It's called Things We Cannot Say or Do, a limerick chain, and dedicated to Teddy Bard, Night on the Town. One more for the road, Teddy Bard. I drink till we drop your card, to discover we're spurred by a drunken swear word. The ones we have used are now barred. A drink in the hands of two blind, I'll say, with a... quick to find a bibulous state of affairs that can't wait. I feel we are two of a kind. At least we are able to steer to up and prop up. Take a peer. We're a joke and a half. Aye, a bit of a laugh. I'm sorry to ask, but where's my beer? I thought we were back in all Leicester. The Bank of Alliance, you jester, is vaguely forgotten. Your jokes are so rotten. I'll thank you to leave and not pester. And that's it.
I loved it.
That was great.
Yeah, that was wonderful. Wonderful. It reminded me of...
Not bad for a non-drinker.
Not bad at all. Now, it reminded me of a notorious drinker, actually. Have you ever heard of the... he was a billionaire who was also a poet named Felix Dennis. Did you ever hear of him at all? I'll see if I can find some stuff of his, but he... actually, believe it or not, he had made a fortune in the magazine industry, but was actually one hell of a poet at the same time.
Wow.
And he had that same sort of feeling to it. And I'll see if I can find some more information about him to send your
brilliant.
Way. But it was wonderful.
I love it.
Good job.
Do you like the way I put hick in it?
It's just that was great.
Yeah, I enjoyed that very much.
We'll have to do that for real one Christmas.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. And cheers. That was...
cheers.
No, cheers. We'll see you later. And that was Titus calling from the UK. Was doing something different. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was.
Nice. All right. Well, so now we're going to head to Cleveland, Ohio.
From
Mama Oladeji.
Doing something different. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was. Can totally hear me typing.
Yeah, you can.
I'm going to have to fix that some way.
It's a thing. Hey, Mama, how you doing?
I'm doing.
All right.
I was just telling Lucretia that I really identify with her work. You know, I've listened to both of her poems, and I can just identify with the same way that I think about certain things. And when she's mentioned about the China, and I can really identify with her. And Titus could read the cereal box and make me excited.
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Titus? We should record that and make that your ringtone.
Okay. So I have another piece pulled up here. And this is a piece that just won. It says, "Dear Vicki, congratulations. This is a quick note to let you know that your poem, Wishes and Prayers, is one of the poems being featured on the Poetry Soup homepage. Thanks and congratulations." So I am very proud of this poem. It's pretty old, but it did win this particular spot on a very well-known poetry site. So I'm going to read that for you all.
Okay.
And the name of it again is called Wishes and Prayers. We wish, we wish because we are not sure if it be. We wish because we want it to be. Conveniently, we wish it were true, if only things become true when we need them to be. We usher in the powers of good. We wish out the destruction of wickedness. We wish it were true about God. Then we believe it with our whole hearts. We pray and God handles it from there. We wish, though wishes are not exactly prayers. We wish to set in motion our most intimate needs. Maybe wishing is like putting in an order with God's staff that only you can fulfill by closing your eyes. Wishing wishes until wishes takes wings and flies. Returning us consummated as we open our eyes. I'd wish that I could just live my life. I'd wish one wish for all mean people to disappear. I'd wish that there would really be a place where good folks go in the afterlife. I would not waste more wishes on the wicked. We usher in the powers of good. We'd wish out the destruction of wickedness. We wish it were true about heaven. Then we believe it with our whole hearts. We pray, and God handles it from there. See, wishes are rare, and you only get a few. So we cannot be frivolous when we wish. So we just pray them away, you know, the bad people. Wishes are few, but prayers are plenty. I'm wishing and praying for all of you to be good people. And I wish heaven would be true. I pray we meet again. Just us, the good ones who loved each other in peace. From a child's perspective, wishes and prayers.
That was lovely. Thank you, Mama.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Wow.
It's from a child perspective. So I was trying to get the...
Yeah, I can feel that. Yeah, I can feel that.
Okay. Did you know how they say you only get three wishes?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was like. But they say pray without ceasing. So I kind of like put it in perspective from a child's point of view. You only get three wishes, so you don't want to waste them, but you want to wish all the bad people away.
Makes sense. Makes sense to me. All right.
Okay, darling. I enjoyed myself, and I will see you all next week.
We'll see you then.
In the spirit. All right.
Thank you, Mama. Bye. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. land of amazing food and apparently great fashion.
Hey, that works.
Hey, you know what? I'm not going to argue with it. It's been reiterated time and time again. In fact, the thing I'm thinking is maybe we need to figure out a way to go to Cleveland and have some food. That's what it sounds like to me. All right. Let's go now to Diane in Florida, Tampa, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you hear it?
Diane, are you there? Oh, see, we're having the problem. Diane, once again, hang up and call us back. I'm so sorry. Thank you. It's not you, I promise. It's JT.
That's right. That's so weird.
Well, and it's not, you know, the fact is we've been working through different versions of the software, and where this one software works, the other one doesn't work, and where it's a huge mess. So we're having to figure it out. Diane, you there?
No, I'm not here at all.
Okay. Well, now we know you're not here, so I'm glad we cleared that up.
Okay, so now that we know I'm not here, what do you want me to... I'm just kidding. forgive me.
Do your best Adam West Batman impersonation. Go. No. Right.
Biff. Pow. Kapow. Yes.
You know what? That's probably the best one I've heard all day. So.
I know.
Yeah.
I learned how to... I'm just kidding. I was about to say I learned how to regret... No, I'm just... Anyway, I'm a little bit... It's Friday night. I worked hard. I still have to work tomorrow, but it's okay.
Yeah.
This is a very old poem that I have. It's my very first published piece. And I don't know. I guess we're all kind of waxing a little lyrical tonight. It's called The Real. Not Virginia Real. The Real Real. Forgive me. All right, here I go. The Real. Where have they hidden The Real? I've looked for it everywhere, buried in concrete. Is it hidden discreetly in the smell of urban sprawl and renewal? I remember the fresh smells of summer, late evenings and fading sunlight, the laughter and yells of children catching lightning bugs dancing the night, the radiant smell of June roses, smelling more when they bloomed only 1 month, the honeysuckle scent so heavy, it cut through the air like a knife. So where have they hidden The Real? Is it gone or has it just been mislaid? Is it hidden away where I can't seem to go, or is it that I'm just afraid to acknowledge that those days are over and there never will be a return to the way things were in childhood, and that this is a lesson to learn, that there is no return to what's gone, only memories traced in the air of a path back through the lands that time has forgotten, and the only real now is here. The end.
That was a powerful piece.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, I'm just a little bit, forgive me, I'm a little bit all over here. I was actually starting to think of a good limerick.
Oh, really?
About, well, there once was a man from Nantucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Trust me, I had it all.
It was running through Michael's head the whole time.
Okay, so I'm going to go now so that you can talk to caller number 5.
All right.
Hey, cool.
All right,
Diane.
Thank you, Diane. Love you too. Bye. And that was Diane calling from Florida. Sure, Nantucket Joe's.
That's okay.
You know.
Hey, at least she didn't continue with it.
There once was a man from Nantucket who put a hole in the bottom of a bucket. The water came out. Then he ran about saying, stick this in your...
Wow.
Hey, I was trying to make it up as we went. My head is not in the game right now.
No.
All right.
It's okay.
Here we go. Let's go to Philip in Kentucky.
Hola.
Hola. ¿Cómo está?
Hola.
Telemundo.
Bien, ¿y tú?
Et tu brute? Yeah, what? Okay.
Et tu brute? No, not right. No, actually, I worked as a security guard once, and I'd have to give out cards to. I don't know how you say it, people who have crossed the border, perhaps. So I picked up a little Spanish doing that. So.
Oh, interesting.
And I know cerveza. So that's always good.
That's a word that's very important to know.
That's a very good word indeed. To know.
Right? Okay. Right. Well, I will get to it. I'm going to close out tonight with a poem by Charles Simic. And this is one of my favorites by him. It's called Prodigy. And I really appreciate the wartime backdrop in this piece. So at any rate, here we go. Charles Simic, Prodigy. I grew up bent over a chessboard. I loved the word in-game. All my cousins looked worried. It was a small house near a Roman graveyard. Planes and tanks shook its window panes. A retired professor of astronomy taught me how to play. That must have been in 1944. In the set we were using, the paint had almost chipped off the black pieces. The white king was missing and had to be substituted for. I am told, but do not believe, that summer I witnessed men hung from telephone poles. I remember my mother blindfolding me a lot. She had a way of tucking my head suddenly under her overcoat. In chess, too, the professor told me the masters play blindfolded, the great ones on several boards at the same time. And there it is. Mr. Simic.
Great choice, man. Great choice. That's a cool piece. Yeah. It's funny though,
Philip.
You have this ability to whoever you're reading, you end up making it sound like you, which I think is really good. That's a compliment. It's a compliment.
No, I take it though. Yeah, and I'm always uncertain how to read other people's work, so
yeah.
You know, I do my best. But no, I really appreciate that, and I love your reading style too, my friend.
Oh, thank you. I just copy Steve Barry. That's my secret.
There you go. All right. Dig it. You guys have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and I look forward to the next program, et cetera. And cheers to the new reader, Lucretia, the new wonderful having you on the show. And thank you guys so much again and again. So,
appreciate it, yeah. Philip. Appreciate you, too.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers. And that was Philip calling all the way from Kentucky, land of the enamel-footed bathtub.
There you go. See?
See? I could probably say that anywhere now, though, because they're so ubiquitous. There's probably at least 2 or 3 enamel-footed bathtubs in every state. Probably.
Okay.
But you know where they were invented? Right in Kentucky.
That's right.
Boom. All right. Let's go to Connecticut to visit with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Welcome to the return engagement.
The return engagement.
I know, JT hasn't hit the button yet tonight. I'm starting to feel a little...
I haven't heard it.
We'll do it later. We're playing a little low-key tonight.
I hear that. So, from that kind of note, I'm going to bring you to something that I watched this week. I don't know if you saw it, but the CMAs, Country Music Awards, and they are kind of hokey and fun. And this year they turned kind of, well, you'll see. It was different. So a friend of mine, I wasn't even going to write about it. I just, you know, was going to read, you know, watch and think and maybe write about it sometime later, but my friend said, oh, you should write a poem. So, you know me, I can write a poem on cue. So I said, okay, what the hell, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I can write a poem. So this is what came out. It's called Sequins and Denim, Thoughts on CMA 2017. Sequins and Denim combined in one venue as country music stars came together to celebrate and award each other in a big hug to all who was there and watched on TV. The message was inclusive as they sang about family and love, bringing their hearts to the stage and giving us a sense of connection with those who were there. We were spectators,
But when the glittering star, dressed in a couldn't forget dress, sang as the photos of the hapless Las Vegas victims joined the names of those being memorialized, this experience turned too real, and tears streamed down my cheeks at seeing those innocent faces who had also come together to hear music. End poem.
I had read that earlier this week on Facebook. That's very, very powerful piece, and I resonate a lot with it, or it resonates a lot with me, I should say.
Yeah, thank you. It turned really that way after, you know, I thought, what is the main thing that I got out of this? And I realized that it was this. It was Carrie Underwood dressed in this gorgeous dress. I mean, it was glittering. It was beautiful, white with, I don't know, sequins and glitter and all kinds of stuff. Standing there, it was kind of princessy. It was like a princess dress. Standing in the middle of the stage and singing that song.
Yeah.
And it was Jesus is calling. And, you know, I'm not a religious person, and I'm definitely not Christian or Catholic, but that song and the people behind it just got to me. And then when they put up the photos of all those people who had been killed in Las Vegas, I couldn't. It was visceral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like, oh, my God, they're showing these photos, you know? Anyway, I was devastated, and that is what came out. So it's good she asked me to write about it, because I guess I would have written it. What was that? It sounded like one of those, you know. I just heard a sound. It sounded very much like those old, like, sounds in news. Did you hear it?
No.
No, what?
It must have been on my end. Like the telegraph sound that they used to give in old radio shows.
Well, I think that the sound you just made is typically one you hear in hip hop songs right before Pitbull yells something about being in the club. So I mean, maybe
could be.
Yeah. maybe it's just the thing that, you know, where you listen to a lot of Pitbull music, you just start hearing it, you know, when you're on the phone with
unsuspecting. No, Pitbull music and I. It's okay. Anyway, I'm going to go.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
I'm going to go. Have a great week. And thank you, Michael, for reading my poem. That was lovely. And you got my poems, by the way. I did send them to you.
Yes, you did. But I'm going to actually, this is something I'll just tell you on the air, because what the hell. Can you resend those to the email address? Because I can't open it on Facebook for some reason.
Oh, dear. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. If I have to remember everything I wrote, okay, I will.
Well, it's all on a file. So I think
it's on a file. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird that you can't open it on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know. So that's why we ask people to send
files now. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would send my poem file to Diane, but maybe this is too long a file.
I don't know. So that's why we always ask people to do the Gmail thing, because it's a lot more straightforward. So if you could do that, that would help out.
Yes, I will.
You.
And thank you, and sorry for anybody who that was boring for.
All right. Thank you.
I can't be funny all the time, so.
I know. It's so hard to carry this thing on our own. All right.
Okay. Good night, Michael and JT, and thank you for a great show.
No problem. Good night.
And talk to you next week.
Talk to you then. Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. We were talking a little shop there, guys.
Yep.
A little shop. Hey, she was mentioning, she was talking about the anthology. Anthology will be coming out here soon. Hopefully to kind of coincide with our anniversary, but we'll see. We'll see how it all goes. And we're definitely be in time for Christmas. It's also a really good gift. If you want to give people, you know, a book that you have some poetry in, it's actually a really cool thing. Help support the show, too. Helps kind of fund us for the next year. So we definitely appreciate your support in that. Speaking of someone who supports the show and does so much for us, let's see if we actually get him on the line. This is Dennis calling from Michigan. Dennis, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, perfect. We can hear you loud and clear.
All right. So that was what I was going for.
That is kind of the goal, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's been a great show tonight so far. And what do you have for us this time?
Well, first, I'd like to say it's really good to have Lucretia on the show with us tonight. And I hope she comes back as often as she can. She's bringing a lot of good stuff forward, and we would like to hear more. But with that being said, I'd like to share a poem. I'm sure I've read it before, but it bears repeating. It's a little bit darker than what I usually read, but I give it a run. The title is When the Shadows Fall. In my dreams, in moonlit hours, you enchant me with your powers. You inhabit my desires. Rekindling sparks back into fires. Your perfume floats upon the breeze, brings me quickly to my knees. I surrender without regret, deftly trapped within your net. Captured by your many charms, comforted in your tender arms. By your prowess, I fall prey, dreading now the light of day. But once again, this vision fades. Harsh reality my mind invades. Though I long to hold you near, you've been gone almost a year. But I know you will return. When the sun no longer burns, I'll be waiting for your call when the shadows fall. End of poem.
It was a beautiful piece. It really, really was.
Well, you try to throw yourself into your poetry. It's nothing that I've personally experienced, but it's what I can feel that others have experienced, and I try to go there in my limited way, but I just think it's something that we can relate to.
No, I definitely feel that as well. Yeah. Wow. Well, Dennis, thank you so much for everything tonight, and as always, thank you for everything again. But you know, I think you brought it pretty hard this evening. And I good week, good showing.
Well, thank you very much, and I hope to hear from you sometime during the week about certain things. Give me a call or give me a text, and we'll get together.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks right. again for the show, for your dedication, for all your sacrifice in making it happen. It is all appreciated. And thank you so much. And I'm going to leave by saying God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Jinx. it's happened too many times.
Yep.
Too many times.
We've been around each other for long enough.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very true. All right, let's go to Mary in Arizona. Mary, are you there? Mary, we're having that issue again. So, Mary, if you can hear us, we can't hear you. Just hang up and give us a shout right back, okay?
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you.
She's on top of it. You know, that's the thing. I really don't like that we have this issue. However, we do have callers who are intelligent enough, they jump right on it. They know what's going on.
I love it.
Which I really do appreciate. Yeah. Here she is. Let's take her live. Hey, Mary, you there?
I followed all the rules, I promise.
You did a great job. That was on our end.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, here we go.
All right. Thank you.
Lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion and nothing new. Flashback one night, almost left behind. Suitcase of memories, time after some time. You picture me, I'm walking too far ahead. You're calling to me, I can't hear what you said. And you say, go slow, I fall behind. The second hand unwinds. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting. Time after time. After my picture fades and darkness has turned to gray, you're calling to me. I can't hear what you say. Watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. Secrets stolen from deep inside. The drum beats out of time. If you're lost, you can look. You will find me time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting time after time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I will be waiting time after time.
So I'm probably flat. We'll see. Yeah, way flat. Ten o'clock here in Arizona.
Beautifully done. Beautifully done. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. I love you guys. Till next week, huh? We're on?
Yeah, that's right. We're on.
We're on.
We'll be going.
Oh, it's Nathan. I'm going to get my party dress out.
All right. Now, by the way, save that party dress, though, for 3 weeks, though, from tonight as well. That's our five-year anniversary. We're going to be doing a ridiculous...
You don't know the lovely costume that's coming for that one.
Ooh,
all right. All right. I'm breaking out my sumo wrestler costume.
Good night, tuxedos, and you lovely prom people.
All right. Good night,
Mary. Good night,
Mary. Thanks so much. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, dropping some Cyndi Lauper with in an a cappella version.
Yeah.
I didn't expect to hear a cappella Cyndi Lauper. That was a cool surprise.
No, it was. It was really nice.
The only thing that would have been better was Total Eclipse of the Heart a cappella.
It would have been interesting.
I wish I could sing it, but I can't really.
I know. It's, unfortunately, you have the...
Turn around every now and then. I get. I kind of would have worked it out sometime.
That'd be interesting.
That'd be awful. That'd be terrible. She did a great job.
She did.
All right, let's go to Stan in Alabama to close out the evening. Last but certainly not least, Stan, are you there?
I'm hearing it there too.
Damn it. Okay, Stan, we're having that issue again. Can you give us a call right back? Sorry about that. All right, so Stan is our last caller of the evening when we take it. He's a perfect person to close it out. Like I said, he's my chosen voice for the end of the world announcement. If it's, you know, oh, by the way, the studio cat is...
just showed up.
Showing up, and she's kind of protesting the fact that I don't pet her.
Yep.
She it really causes some issues. She's upset about it.
Hey, hey.
Hey, there Stan, how's it going?
Hello.
We are here now.
It's going better now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100% better. 100% better.
Uh-oh. I hear music.
Oh, yeah? You hear music?
I am hearing music.
Hmm.
Yes, I do.
Huh. Yeah, we don't hear anything. Interesting. We can hear you.
You
we
hear
don't
me.
Hear any music. Yeah. We don't hear any music, though.
Well, we're not going to worry about it then.
All right.
We'll go right on past whatever that nonsense is.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So I'll give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. Hang on. All right. Here we go. Oh, just to preface this little story I'm going to tell, I'm going to borrow a few lines from Mr. Jay Giles, Full House 5. Take out your false teeth, mama. I want to suck on your gums. And I've got a little story about an elderly couple headed to bed, angry as hell at each other. Him giving her a skull, her giving him back. He says, good night. She says, good night. And they go to bed and turn their backs on each other. Sometime during the evening, she sits up, looks over at him with a disdainful look, picks up her slipper and smacks him in the head. He sits straight up in bed and he goes, what in the hell did you do that for? She said, that's for being a lousy lover. And then she rolls back over and goes to sleep. Oh, crazy bat. And he rolls over and turns his back to her. A little while later, he sits up. Some of the stain. Picks up his slipper and smacks her one. Well, what the hell did you do that for? And he said, that's for knowing the difference. And... Hello.
Oh, we're here. We're here. We're here. That we were. You had JT laughing. It took us a second here, man. very very nice. I like that one a lot, man. I like. And you're right. Totally different than the offering earlier in the show from you.
Welcome to the fun house that is my mind.
You know what? I can completely sympathize with that. Man, it is always a pleasure
it's
to have you here, man.
Works.
Oh man, no, I don't know. We always look forward to you calling, man, and it's always so good to hear the stuff you bring, the humor, and also being capable of the serious stuff as well.
Thank you, and I am very much honored and enjoy this a lot. I love coming here to this venue, these poets, the new voices we're getting now. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And it's only going to go up from here, Stan. We got some cool stuff coming. So I hope.
Can't
looking
wait.
Forward to it. All right, man. Cool. Stan, we'll talk to you next time. Sound good?
See you next week. Yes, sir.
All right.
And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
And that was Stan calling all the way from Alabama to round out the return engagement segment. It's been a really good show tonight, and I think it's really been – I actually feel more energized now than I did when we started the show, which is – it's an effect that's been happening more and more and more with this show. And I think that's a real testament to the poets who call in, and also to you, JT. Thank you for everything you do.
No problem.
And so from myself, from JT, from – Novia, the studio cat, who is still just kind of putting herself in my periphery, hoping I will decide to pet her now. And from Ursa, the studio dog, thank you to all the poets who have listened in, who join us in, people who just listen and never actually call in. I want to say thank you to you as well. We know there's a lot of you out there. We can see the statistics. And we just really want to say that we're humbled by what, you know, by what we do and by the chances we have with you. Thank you for your attention. And until we meet next time, keep on writing. Good night.